There are places in America where the woods feel endless, where the road bends, the cell phone signal fades, and neighbors are miles apart. Places where you assume nothing bad could ever hide, because everyone knows everyone. Tonight, we go through one of those places. A young woman disappears, a photograph surfaces online, and suddenly, the quiet fractures. This is the story of Cassidy Rainwater and the men who hunted her. But before we begin, I need you to understand something. This episode contains details of extreme violence, confinement, murder. If you need to step away, do so. There is no shame in protecting yourself. For those who stay, this is not entertainment. This is testimony. Welcome to Among Monsters. I'm Maya Vale. This is a true crime podcast that examines the people who commit unthinkable acts and the systems, silences, and warning signs that allow them to happen. Tonight's episode is not about spectacle. It is about accountability and remembrance. Lebanon, Missouri sits along historic Route 66, that stretch of American highway mythology, where diners serve pie all day and antique shops line Main Street. Population 17,000. The kind of place where people wave, where strangers stand out, where danger is supposed to be obvious. But drive 15 minutes outside of town, past the last gas station, past the Dollar General, past the hand-painted signs advertising firewood and honey, and you enter a different world. Dallas County Rural Back Roads, Moon Valley Road, where properties stretch across dozens of acres, where the tree line swallows the sky, where the nearest neighbor might be a mile away, and where in the summer of 2021, a woman named Cassidy Rainwater was fighting to survive. Cassidy was 33 years old, born June 9, 1988, raised in the Lebanon area. According to those who knew her, she had a personality that filled the room, outgoing, spirited, the kind of person who made you laugh before you even realized why. She loved the river. She hunted for arrowheads along the banks, those ancient pieces of history hidden in the Missouri mud. She wrote poetry. She sang. She was also a mother of six, and like many young mothers navigating poverty, unstable housing, and limited options, she was vulnerable. Vulnerability is not a character flaw. It is a circumstance, but predators see it differently. They see opportunity. In July of 2021, Cassidy was unhoused. She had been staying with friends, acquaintances, anyone who offered her a place to sleep while she tried to get back on her feet. That phrase, get back on her feet, appears over and over in the court documents. As if standing required only willpower. As if the systems designed to help people like Cassidy actually worked. At some point that summer, Cassidy connected with a man named James Phelps. How they met is unclear. What is clear is this. James Phelps offered Cassidy a place to stay, a loft space on his property at 386 Moon Valley Road. And Cassidy, needing help, accept it. She believed she was safe. She was not. James David Phelps was 58 years old in 2021. Born in 1963, raised in Preston, Missouri, made the honor roll at Skyline High School. On paper, unremarkable. But monsters don't always look like monsters. They blend in. They help. They smile. They offer you a place to stay. And that's what made James Phelps dangerous. Cassidy was last seen alive on July 25th, 2021, but she wasn't reported missing for a month. A whole month. When someone vanishes quietly, when there's no dramatic scene, no witnesses, no immediate alarm, they become invisible twice. First in life, then in attention. August 25th, 2021, a month after Cassidy was last seen, a woman named Cora Terry contacted the Dallas County Sheriff's Office. Cora was concerned. She hadn't heard from Cassidy in weeks. The last time anyone had seen her, she was with James Phelps at 386 Moon Valley Road. That same day, Deputy Chris Clark responded to the property to perform a welfare check. He knocked. He looked around. He found no sign of Cassidy Rainwater. On September 1st, Sergeant R. Simmons drove out to Moon Valley Road again. This time, he spoke with James Phelps directly. Phelps was calm, cooperative. He told the sergeant that yes, Cassidy had been staying with him for a couple of weeks. She was trying to get back on her feet. She'd been talking about going to Colorado, a fresh start maybe. Then Phelps said, about a month earlier, Cassidy had left in the middle of the night. She met someone in a vehicle at the end of his driveway, and he hadn't seen her or heard from her since. The sergeant looked around the property. The loft where Cassidy had supposedly been staying looked stripped. No clothes, no personal items, no belongings. As if no one had ever been there at all. But here's the thing about lies. They rely on people not looking too closely. And sometimes the truth surfaces from the most unexpectable places. September 16, 2021. The FBI office in Kansas City received an anonymous tip through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's cyber tip line. The tip included several photographs, digital images, disturbing images. The photos depicted a woman, partially clothed, confined inside a cage. Her face was visible. Her fear was visible. The FBI reviewed the images and immediately forwarded them to Dallas County Sheriff's Office because someone recognized her. Cassidy Rainwater. That same day, September 16th, investigators obtained a search warrant for James Phelps' cell phone. And they found seven photographs, seven images of Cassidy Rainwater, partially nude, confined in a cage on Phelps' property. But the images didn't stop there. Additional photos show Cassidy's body bound to a gantry crane. A gantry crane is a metal frame device commonly used by hunters to process deer, to hang and butcher wild game. And in these photographs, Cassidy Rainwater was bound in one. The images depicted her, her dismemberment. Cassidy Rainwater was not missing. She was already dead. September 16th of 2021, late afternoon, Sergeant Simmons returned to 386 Moon Valley Road. This time he wasn't there for questions. He was there with a warrant. When Simmons arrived, he immediately recognized the property from the photographs the FBI had provided. The same buildings, the same angles, the same scene. James Phelps was arrested on the spot and transported to the Dallas County Jail. Over the next several days, investigators from Dallas County Sheriff's Office, the FBI, and the Greene County Sheriff's Office Crime Scene Unit processed the entire property. Every building, every shed, every inch of ground. And what they found confirmed the worst possible outcome. They found the cage, the exact cage from the photographs. They found the gantry crane, the metal frame used to suspend and butcher animals, the same device Cassidy had been bound to. Inside a freezer on the property, investigators found packages, wrapped, labeled. The label read 724, July 24th. The contents appeared to be human flesh. The items were sent to the crime lab for DNA testing. The results came back conclusive. The remains were consistent with Cassidy Rainwater's DNA. Scattered nearby on an adjacent property, land that had once belonged to Cassidy's grandfather, investigators found skeletal remains, what was left of her. But James Phelps had not acted alone. During the digital forensics examination of Phelps' phone, investigators found text message conversations, planning conversations between Phelps and another man, Timothy Norton. Timothy Norton was 56 years old. He told police he was an over-the-road truck driver, that he lived in his truck even when he wasn't working. But investigators knew better. Norton had been at the Moon Valley Road property, and he had been involved. On September 20th, 2021, FBI agents interviewed Timothy Norton at the Dallas County Sheriff's Office. At first, Norton provided information that didn't add up. Inconsistencies, invasions. So they asked him again. And then Timothy Norton confessed. Norton told FBI agents that James Phelps had contacted him, asked him to come over to the property while Cassidy was sleeping. Phelps had positioned Cassidy on the floor near the front door so they would have easy access to attack her. Norton said he entered the house. He held Cassidy's legs down while James Phelps strangled her and placed a bag over her head. After Cassidy was dead, Norton said they took a short break. Then they carried her body outside. Phelps bound her to the gantry crane and began the dismemberment. Norton helped carry Cassidy's dismembered body back inside the house. They placed her in the bathtub. This is where I need to stop, not because the details are too graphic, but because Cassidy Rainwater deserves more than to be remembered only for how she died. She was a person, a daughter, a mother, a human being who laughed and loved and dreamed of better days. What James Phelps and Timothy Norton did to her was not impulsive. It was calculated, premeditated. They planned her murder in text messages dated July 24th, the exact date written on the remains they stored in that freezer. This was not passion. This was not an accident. This was premeditation. On November 17th, 2021, the Dallas County prosecutor filed first-degree murder charges against both James Phelps and Timothy Norton. They were also charged with kidnapping and abandonment of a corpse. The case had gone from a missing person report to one of the most disturbing criminal investigations Missouri had seen in years. And the public reacted. Social media exploded. TikTok videos spread rumors faster than the investigation could contain them. Wild speculations about cannibalism, about selling human meat, about dark web markets. On October 7, 2021, Dallas County Sheriff Scott Rice posted a message on Facebook addressing the misinformation. He was blunt. There is a lot of misinformation and rumors regarding Cassidy Rainwater case being circulated across social media and various news platforms. While I understand the impatience and curiosity of the people, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. It is not a good idea to listen to a crime reporter, blogger, or TikTok videos that are sitting in their apartment or their mommy and daddy's basement eating Great Value cheese puffs and drinking boxed wine. The sheriff urged patience. He reminded people that investigations take time. But here's the thing. Sometimes the truth is worse than the rumors. October 4th, 2021, late evening. The property at 386 Moon Valley Road, the house where James Phelps had been staying, caught fire. Multiple fire crews from surrounding areas responded. They worked to contain the blaze, to put out hot spots before the flames spread to the surrounding woods. While surveying the scene, a Dallas County deputy discovered something unusual, a tripwire, an explosive device. The Springfield Bomb Squad was called to the scene. The device was detonated safely. According to the Missouri State Fire Marshal's report, investigators found two devices made with motor tubes, balloons, and coiled fuses with tripwire attached. The fire was classified as second-degree arson. The house was burned to the ground. Rachel Nicholson, a nearby resident, watched from a distance. She told reporters, "All of a sudden, the house collapsed and the flames got bigger. We could feel the heat. Everything was on fire, and we sat there and watched it collapse. I called 911 because I was worried about it catching the woods on fire and spreading to the other houses." To this day, no one has been charged with the arson. The investigation remains open, but the message was clear. Someone wanted the house erased. April 28, 2023, nearly 2 years after Cassidy's murder, James David Phelps appeared in Dallas County Court. He entered what's called an Alford plea. An Alford plea is unusual. It allows a defendant to plead guilty while not actually admitting guilt, only acknowledging that the prosecution has enough evidence to convict them at trial. Judge Jill Porter sentenced James Phelps to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Dallas County Sheriff Scott Rice was in the courtroom that day. He told reporters that Phelps showed no emotion, none. 2 months later, June 27, 2023, Timothy Norton also pleaded guilty. He too was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Both men will die behind bars. So now, we ask the questions that matter. Not, how could this happen? Because we know how. But, why does this keep happening? Cassidy Rainwater was 33 years old when she died. She was unhoused, struggling, doing what so many people in her position do, accepting help from whoever offered it. She trusted James Phelps because she had no other choice. And that's the part that should haunt us. In America, we tell people to get back on their feet, as if poverty is a personal failing, as if homelessness is laziness, as if vulnerability is weakness, and then we're shocked when predators exploit the vulnerability. Cassidy's mother, Tracy, disappeared in 2007. Her skeletal remains were found scattered in a field near Lebanon, Missouri in 2008. The circumstances were described as suspicious. No cause of death was ever released. No one was ever arrested. Two generations, two disappearances, one family. The LaSalle County coroner says there's no evidence of a connection between the two cases. Maybe that's true, or maybe both women simply existed in the margins, where violence happens quietly, where investigations stalls, where justice moves slowly or not at all. Cases like Cassidy's force us to confront uncomfortable truths. Who do we protect? Who do we ignore? Who do we believe when they go missing? Cassidy Rainwater was not invisible. She was made invisible by systems that fail vulnerable adults, by assumptions that danger always announces itself, by the myth that monsters are strangers, when so often they are the people offering help. James Phelps was not loud or flashy. He didn't stand out. He offered Cassidy a place to stay, and she had no reason to suspect him. That's the terrifying part. Predators don't wear signs. They don't announce their intentions. They embed themselves in communities. They help at church. They chat at the gas station. They live down the road. And when someone like Cassidy disappears, the assumption is that she left, that she chose to go, not that someone took her. After Cassidy's murder, community members in Dallas County spoke to reporters. Katie Heflin, a local business owner, said, "It's horrible, but as a community, even though we don't know her, we're still praying for her family. We know she had kids. We're all praying for them. No matter what she didn't deserve that." That sentence matters because it acknowledges something true. That we often judge victims. We look at their choices, their circumstances, their struggles, and we decide whether they were innocent enough to deserve justice. But Cassidy Rainwater's humanity was not conditional. Her life had value regardless of her housing status, regardless of her mistakes, regardless of anything. 3 years after her death, Cassidy's family held a memorial service. August 16, 2024. They wanted to remember her life, not just her death. The obituary describes Cassidy as having a very outgoing and large personality. She was fun to be with. She loved the river. She hunted for arrowheads. She wrote poetry. She sang. Cassidy left behind six children, six human beings who will grow up without their mother, who will carry this loss forever. And that's the real cost of violence like this. Not just the victim, but everyone connected to them. I started this episode by saying that monsters don't hide under beds. They hide in plain sight. And I need you to understand what that means. Because this story isn't about Lebanon, Missouri. It's about everywhere. Right now, somewhere in America, there's another Cassidy Rainwater. Someone struggling, someone unhoused, someone accepting help from the wrong person because they have no other options. And we won't hear about them until it's too late. That's the pattern. We ignore people when they're alive. We pay attention when they're dead. In 2021, when Cassidy went missing, it took a month for anyone to report it. A month. And even then, the initial welfare check found nothing. It wasn't until an anonymous tipster, someone thousands of miles away scrolling through disturbing images online, recognized that something was wrong. Think about that. A stranger on the internet cared more about finding Cassidy than the system designed to protect her. That should not be how justice works. We cannot rely on anonymous tips and viral photos to protect vulnerable people. We need better systems, better resources, better attention. If you are vulnerable, if you are isolated, afraid, or trapped, please reach out. National Domestic Violence Hotline, National Human Trafficking Hotline, National Sexual Assault Hotline. These resources exist. Use them. And if you are not vulnerable, if you are safe, stable, resourced, then I am asking you to pay attention to the person at the grocery store who looks afraid, to the neighbor you haven't seen in weeks, to the coworker who suddenly goes quiet. Most of the time, nothing will be wrong, but sometimes, your attention could save a life. Cassidy Rainwater was born June 9, 1988. She grew up in Lebanon, Missouri. She had a big personality, an infectious laugh. She loved the river, loved searching for arrowheads along the banks. She wrote poetry. She sang. She was a mother of six children who needed her. On July 24th, 2021, James Phelps and Timothy Norton murdered her. They confined her, they strangled her, they dismembered her body, and they tried to erase her. But Cassidy Rainwater cannot be erased. She existed, she mattered, she deserves safety, dignity, and a future. And tonight we say her name. Cassidy Rainwater. We remember her not as a victim, though she was victimized. Not as a case file, though her murder became one. But as a human being. Flawed, yes. Struggling, yes. But human. To Cassidy Rainwater's family, to her children, her siblings, her loved ones. I'm sorry. Sorry that the world failed her. Sorry that she was made to feel invisible when she should have been protected. And to anyone listening who feels invisible right now, you are not. You are seen. You matter. Monsters do not hide under beds. They hide in plain sight. They offer help, they smile, they gain trust, and then they take everything. But we can stop them by paying attention, by believing survivors, by refusing to look away. I'm Maya Vale, And this has been Among Monsters. Rest in peace, Cassidy.